Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. It's episode 153. I'm Mike.
I am Al.
And I'm Anton. And once again, it's back. Great to be back with a whole bunch of new news. Been playing some games. How have you all been getting on?
To be honest, I have not played very much at all this week. I've had a very, very quiet Switch week, which is it's been annoying because I'm really, really craving getting stuck into a game, probably Kirby, but it just hasn't happened just with various things going on at the moment. But I did play a bit more Mario Kart. I played a bit more of the courses, which has been fun. And that's really about it for me. What about you, Al?
I have done a little bit more. I've been understandably playing Kirby. I've been doing the one player in there and thoroughly enjoying it, pushing my way forward to... I think I'm in the desert right now. I don't think that's giving any way. I'm in a desert. But I've gone back and started again with Sun doing in co-op mode. So I've let him be Kirby and I'm just running along as Waddle Dee, basically getting him out of predicaments when he gets stuck. And he's loving it. He's absolutely just killing it. He's learned all these abilities. He thinks all the mouthful modes are the best things ever. He keeps going around going, Daddy, can you do mouthful mode on? And this picks any random thing in the world that he can see at the moment, because, you know, he wants to do mouthful mode on the bed or on the lamppost. It's like, no, you can't do that in real life. It only works in the game. So yeah, that's been a whole bunch of fun. I've super enjoyed that. And I also played a couple of the SNES games that dropped on the online this week, which I know we're going to talk about in the news, so I'm not going to go into any detail about which one I've played, but yeah, been doing a little bit of that, remembered how frustrating it was and why I'm not going to go back to it.
I am curious what you've been slivering into on the NES online, new online games, but similarly, been doing more Kirby in the Forgotten Lands, managed to complete the main campaign, and I must say, I'm impressed. You know, I was already loving it from the last week's podcast, as mentioned. It just grows, one, in openness, which is very impressive. So it starts off with this very linear experience and then becomes something a little bit more out there and, I suppose, challenging in areas. And just the scope of it, the final act, really was enthralling. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts, Al, once you reach it.
Where am I? If I'm in the desert, how far through am I?
You're maybe like 40% to getting to the end credits. But
okay, so I'm 60% of the way through.
Yeah. you've got some more stuff in there, though. So you've got a full package in the final act. Oof. I was just jaw-dropped at some moments. It caught me off guard.
Nice. Cool.
And I know you were kind of hoping it would be a little bit more open going from the trailers. It doesn't open up completely to the likes of Odyssey, but it does lean a little bit more in that direction the further you go on.
Nice. Fair enough. To be fair, some of the desert levels, I mean, at the moment, they have been a bit more open. So that was, I think, maybe there's the first forays into go and explore a bit, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it, actually. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just... this eternal debate about whether I wait and do it co-op or just go for it myself or do both. I don't know, but I will definitely get to it soon because I am crave. I think I've got some childcare this week. That'll help because that's been half the problem. All right. Before we get started, just a big reminder again, nsukp.co.uk/support-us. Come and join us if you want to be one of our Patreons. That would be wonderful. We've got a great community there. A bunch of extra episodes as well that we do for our Patreon community. And we also, for those that are signed up to our N64 tier, after 6 months, you become a member of the Mug Club, and we've got a new one coming very soon, which is very, very exciting as well. So please do go and check out the website, nsukp.co.uk, and just find out what you're missing out on. Everything we get in is put straight back into the show as well, so make sure that you you check it out. It is time for the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
First up then, Rogue Games have announced Super Mega Zero, nothing to do with Mega Man, for Nintendo Switch. It's a brutal 2D platformer. It's coming out the 27th of April. Al, what's your take on this one?
Well, good question. I'm confused. So the first time I watched this trailer, I was like, oh, this looks naff and rubbish. I mean, it starts off with, you kind of, the best way I can describe your character is you are a capital Q. That's the best description I can give you. You're a capital Q, you're running around doing what kind of looks like relatively straightforward platformy type stuff. But then you get powered up and you start doing sort of top-down, shooty-type stuff. And it does look like one of these games that you're going to get really frustrated with. So I watched it, the trailer, yesterday. I watched the trailer again today, and obviously I was in a different mindset, because yesterday I went, not interested, ruling this one out, just don't care. And today I went, ooh, you know what, actually, I wouldn't mind picking up a controller and giving that a bash. It's got a really cool little, I'm going to call it a chiptune type soundtrack to it, which is just kind of engaging. It's just fun and pumping. And visually, it's bizarre. It's really bizarre. It's vibrant colours and then flashing. Best description I can give you is letters. There's letters make up the landscape. It is just the most bizarre thing I've seen in a while. And now, as the more I look at this, the more I'm thinking, I kind of want to check it out. Do you feel the same way, Anton?
Yeah, I think you've kind of put it in the, you know, different words, but the same idea. We're going through this, you know, doing the podcast, we see a lot of new games coming in and out. So, you know, try to be critical and, you know, coming up with some thoughts. And then I just kind of was sitting there at the end of the looking at the content and looking at the kind of blurb for it. And I was like, you know, those are valid thoughts that I have there, but nah, I don't care. It looks fun. It looks over the top, exciting, kind of VVV-esque, which was a game I really enjoyed on Steam. And yeah, I don't know. I was just like, I like this. I could probably be super critical and I've got some things I could say, but to be honest, I don't care. I think it looks fun.
Yeah, I'm almost exactly the same as both of you. I started off looking at it and was kind of not paying attention enough. And then when I kind of watched it a bit more, I thought, if they get the gameplay right in this, this could be a lot of fun. And it's got a very kind of 80s feel about it, about the whole kind of aesthetic. It's just got that real classic arcadey kind of look to it, but really unusual, like really strange. And I like the chiptune stuff as well. I think that's really cool. And it's a good price point. I think it's about $10. I don't know if what it is in pounds, probably similar, but it's, you know, if it's under the £10 mark, then cool. Yeah, I'd definitely be interested. Certainly I'll wait for a sale, but if it does happen to get brilliant reviews, then I might jump in. But yeah, I'm same as you both. I think it looks definitely interesting. Next up, Atui have announced Run Box Run for the Nintendo Switch. It's a casual online party game experience. They are the team that brought us Zeo Drifter and Mutant Muds, which I have played. And I've got to be honest, I like the look of this one, Al.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of party games now. They are sort of 10 a penny, but that's not a bad thing because party games are great fun. We enjoy them a lot. This one, there's not much to go on, to be fair. There's a nice press release came out which basically just said that it was going to be a game where you're effectively running through a level. It's like a platformer that everyone just scrambles to get to the end of, and if you're the last one, you get eliminated. And then in between rounds, there's a trivia round, obviously. And if you get the answer wrong or you're the last person to answer, you get eliminated. And it's 16 down to 1. Last person standing gets a crown. I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And it does look like it could be quite good fun, but we've not seen any videos. At least I've not seen any videos. You guys might have seen something that I've missed. But early days could be positive. Anton?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. As you mentioned, they haven't really shown too much. It's an accredited team. And, you know, I'm really intrigued. I really want this to be a game that I fall in love with. I do love a good party game. The team behind it, the Mutant Muds games, are fabulous. And, you know, they're simple platformers. And this is a simple platformer. So they know how to do simple platforming right. Whether or not it can hook players, not too sure. It appears like it's going for the, you know, anybody can play it, Jackbox level audience, which I don't think is a bad thing. I'm hopeful. I really do wish it has a demo, though.
Yeah, there is a bit of a controversy as well with it. Well, not a controversy, but there's a niggle in that they did a Kickstarter for a game called Hatch Tales, and it's not finished yet. And last year they released another game called Pictui, and people sort of got annoyed about that because they're like, well, would you finish Hatch Tales because we've all invested in this? And now they've announced another game, and I think a lot of people feel that they need to finish that game that they were funded for. So there's a little bit of a kind of backlash to this just from people who have supported that game and supported the developer. But as a game itself, I think this could be really good. I hope it is. I like the idea of the kind of platformy stuff and the trivia together. I think that sounds a lot of fun, like breaking it up. It's great. You know, we know what it's like with the likes of Mario Party having different stuff happening. And the platforming in Mutant Muds is very good. It's a difficult game, but it's very good. So, yeah, I've got high hopes for this one. I'm keeping my fingers crossed it's good. I really hope it is. Next up, Fellow Traveller have announced Citizen Sleeper for the Nintendo Switch. It's a strategic narrative-focused RPG. It's coming out on the 5th of May. Al, what's your take?
Confused yet again, but in a different way. This time I'm confused by the description that kind of came out from the press release. So it's kind of described as mixing tabletop RPG with a sci-fi narrative and rolling a dice, but then the trailer doesn't really show a dice. It mentions a dice. It says, roll your dice, big letters in the middle of the trailer. But it doesn't really show you what I would consider to be a dice. It's highly confusing, but at the same time, it does look quite gripping. I mean, the trailer kind of shows you fixing your ship and building relationships with people on the ship. I think the whole thing of this, it's kind of a weird story. I like its story. You are an AI. You are playing as an AI in this body that belongs to a corporation. The corporation is chasing you because they want the body back. You find yourself in this derelict space station with a bunch of other random people, and you make relationships with them and try and build a life in space. In summary, that's the game. And it has a lot of potential, and it does look slightly different. A nice little nuanced and quirky take on a familiar genre. And I kind of am hopeful for this. Do you feel differently, Anton? Your face is suggesting maybe?
No, I am with you. I was intrigued by everything, and it seems quite captivating. The story seems interesting. It seems like it's got almost management sim elements, but with high degrees of luck. So everything you do, you know, it's a 1 in 6 chance whether or not it'll work out. And I think that's the gimmick here. And for that, I hope it doesn't come across as frustrating. But overall, I've got to say, it seems like they've built a very rich and mature world. It seems to have a good degree of polish. It just feels like a game that's built by a team that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I think this could be, again, it's all going to come down to the storytelling, I think, with this one, because it seems like they've got the interactive kind of elements going on there with the you know, with the choices that you can make and the things that you can do, and that's great. But if the storytelling's good, this could be really good, because I like the setting and I like the world that it's creating, and the team are a good team, so I'm hopeful that it is a good world. And there's certainly not a lot of narrative in it. I mean, I've had a quick look and there seems to be a lot to kind of tell the story. So we'll keep an eye on it. It's not that long till it comes out. It's just a month until it is actually out. So I'm sure we'll start seeing some more about it very soon. Now, there's been a delay to the sequel of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and that has seen Nintendo's stock fall by 6%. And I guess that's kind of to be expected, Al, that it's such a big title that you're probably going to have a bit of a backlash, in the sense that it's going to take a bit longer, and then that means right now maybe there's not so much happening.
Yeah, I mean, 6% in terms of stock value is huge. I mean, that is talking sort of millions, hundreds of millions, possibly even billions, no, probably hundreds of millions of pounds worth of value. That is a lot of value to lose on one bit of news, but then investors were kind of banking on the Breath of the Wild sequel coming out and creating a whole lot of sales and a whole lot more demand for the current consoles, possibly the next console. So it is a big blow. But at the same time, it's just a temporary blow, and these things do blow over. But the board at Nintendo will be slightly upset their volume's probably dropped that much. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I'm surprised not more people saw this coming. But hey-ho, or at least on the investment side, knowing just the history of The Legend of Zelda, especially Breath of the Wild, the first one. And yeah, I guess I think this will be down for a little bit until we get a better idea of what Nintendo's 2022 calendar looks like. I think that's kind of one of the shortfalls of, you know, Nintendo's strategy now, of, you know, only announcing a game like a year and a bit before it's meant to come out, is unlike previous years where we just had like an idea of what's coming up like several years from now. We're kind of living close to when things are getting released, so I guess once we find out, you know, oh, X game's coming out this season, X is coming out summer, X is coming out, you know, December.
That's a lot, you know, of Mega Man. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, the investors will be happy at that point once they can point to titles and be like, that will bring in money.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. I've got one story that we haven't got because it's only just broken in the last few hours, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We're getting a brand new Monkey Island game. Ron Gilbert. Ron Gilbert is back to write a brand new one. It's called Return to Monkey Island. There is a brief trailer of about 58 seconds. Of course, he did Thimbleweed Park, which I've played most of on the Switch. And it's going to be quite interesting because it's going to follow on from Monkey Island 2, which was the last one he was involved in. There were some other ones after that that he wasn't involved in. But Devolver Digital are publishing it as well. No platforms confirmed yet, but this could be probably one of the strangest comebacks. I don't think any of us expected to see another Monkey Island game anytime soon. But I think for the Switch, it could be a really good one, Al.
I mean, if this doesn't come to the Switch, there's going to be riots. Let's face it. I mean, these kind of point-and-click story games are just... they're just so at home in the Switch. They are its natural setting because, I don't know, they just are. That's it. If we don't get this, people are going to be most upset. And it does look really cool. I mean, I'm watching the trailer for it right now and it does look like they've kind of just updated Monkey Island. This is wonderful. This is the best news I've heard. If this best news I've heard is GTA got released or re-released or at least announced, maybe not released because it was bad. But when it got announced, I'm nearly at that level of excitement.
Incredible. You know, I really love that as well, so that it's following on from the original legacy. It's not a remake, it's not a reboot. And yeah, you know, I kind of love it. It's giving me slight Streets of Rage 4 vibes of, you know, we're just making a sequel to where we left off.
Yeah, it's really exciting that we're getting this. And I wouldn't be surprised if it comes to the Switch one bit. In fact, I expect it to come to the Switch. And I really hope it does. But yeah, exciting news anyway. We've got a new physical 3DS game. It's called Fragrant Story. And it's getting released on April the 21st. Al?
I just like it because it's a great pun. I mean, for anyone who's not got it, there's a game called Vagrant Story. It's basically taking the mickey. Earlier on we were talking about there being a glut of party games. And now we're getting this one, which, I mean, it does make you stink. Makes you think, that there's a lot of opportunities out there for pun-based games, and I'm so excited to see what this brings. Unfortunately, this one really doesn't float my boat. It just looks dull and boring. I mean, I want to like it because it's so pun-based, and it does look like it probably has quite a good story, but the mechanic they show you in the trailer is not particularly engaging. I'm kind of hoping you guys disagree with me. I'm not the only dissenting voice, but I'm definitely going to have to give this a gas. Sorry, pass.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be second to James Pond for my pun-based video games, and yeah, I'm the same. You know, they haven't even programmed anything in for the second screen. So I feel like they're not really expecting people to play this, and they just want it to be the last 3DS game. And they're like, yep, collectors roll by it because they don't want to miss out on the last 3DS game.
Have you seen the prices for the collector's edition, by the way? I mean, it's £4 digitally on the eShop, but the collector's editions are insane.
70 quid?
Yeah, you can get the basic version for 35, the collector's edition for 70, or a signed collector's edition for $120.
Wow. I mean, for a £4 online game, it seems a bit mad.
Piece of crap.
Yeah. And the thing is, with the eShop closing down, that digital copy will probably be the rarest one of them all.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point. We have some new Nintendo Switch Online games. We've got Earthworm Jim 2 on the SNES. We've got Dig Dug 2 on the NES and Mappy Land on the NES. They also added special editions of Super Mario World and Super Punch-Out. Al, which one was it that you were playing?
I went back and played Earthworm Jim 2, and I thought I played Earthworm Jim 2, but I think maybe I had Earthworm Jim. I don't know if I had the sequel. So I started playing it, and I remember just how bloody infuriating those games are. Oh, they're so annoying. It was funny. It was absolutely hilarious. But, I mean, back in the old days, you got an Earthworm Jim game, and it came with an instruction manual, and it told you how to do the moves. Whereas this one, I was playing it, and I got to a certain bit, and it said, use Slime Whip. What's Slime Whip? How do I use Slime Whip? I pressed every button combination I could think of, could not figure out how to do Slime Whip. Thankfully, the internet provided some answers to me. But yeah, I got really frustrated. So I did about two or three levels and went, nope, not doing this anymore, and gave up. But it was quite fun diving back into it. And Earthworm Jim, it's an IP that is just crying out for some new ones. It would work so well in the modern day, but with a few quality of life improvements made to it, perhaps. So yeah, I played that. And while I was on there, actually, I mean, I played, this isn't one of the new releases, but I also played Claymate, which was
classic.
So much worse than I remember it being. But it was amusing. It made my son laugh. He was like, Dad, why are you a rat? Dad, why are you a cat? Dad, why are you a rat again? But it was a very monotonous level. I mean, it was not a good game. Despite my rose-tinted memories of it, it really wasn't a great game. So yeah, that was my experience with the NES and the SNES Online. But I would quite like to go give Dig Dug 2 a shot, because I never played Dig Dug the first time around and everyone loved it.
If you want an exclusive Earthworm Jim game, then they did announce one in 2019 for the Intellivision Amico, and that was supposed to be developed by the original team, Anton.
Indeed, I was going to mention that. It's, you know, the Intellivision Amico, the console we're all waiting forward to, you know, with all of its touchscreen controllers and the spinny wheels. They sure are working on it, and it's definitely real. But nevertheless, it is fun to get another batch of games, especially for the SNES and NES Online, because I know some people that haven't got the expansion pass have been feeling a little bit neglected by Nintendo's lack of updates to these services. And in fairness, these are a good set of additions. All classic games, all fairly beloved, and yeah, I'm tempted. I think I've only really played Earthworm Jim 1 as well.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't think I've ever played the second one.
Did you see what they released in Japan instead? They got a different game.
Yes. Oh. Remind me, though, because I forgot what it was.
They got Harvest Moon. Yeah, the original Harvest Moon on the SNES. I had it on the Game Boy Color, but it literally is exactly the same game on the SNES as it was on the Game Boy Color. I would think I would have been quite happy to get that. In fact, as much as I like the idea of Earthworm Jim, kind of wish we'd got Harvest Moon. It was a great game. I mean, looking back at it now, it really is just all the good bits, all the basics that made... oh gosh, what's it called again? The farming sim that I spent... Stardew Valley, thank you. They are literally the same game, but Stardew just took the idea and expanded it a little bit. Oh, it was just, it was cracking. It was just ahead of its time.
Just on another note, on the Amico, there's a game coming called Care Bears Care Carts, which I kind of love. I really hope that's good. Anyway, sidetrack. And next up, we've got a story about a young Chilean gamer who has recycled 500 kilograms worth of cans to save up funds for Nintendo Switch. That is dedication, Al.
That is a mind-boggling amount of cans. 500 kilograms? I can't even fathom how many that is. I mean, that's like half a ton, right? That's a lot of cans. What a dedication to get your Switch. I mean, someone give that boy some free games.
Absolutely, and I hope Nintendo does. And, you know, one, it's impressive to just be able to do so much recycling that one is able to save up for a Nintendo Switch. But it's also worth bearing in mind, as we've mentioned on one of our kind of exclusive Patreon shows, the prequel, South America has extortionate import rates for video games. For the fact that, you know, due to that, you can still buy a Master System and Mega Drive within of the country because buying a new console is so expensive. For instance, getting a PS4 is like about $900 to $1,000. It's real, real bad. So it wouldn't have been cheap to get this Nintendo Switch. So power to this kid for putting in the legwork to make it work.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. It's a lot of cans, and it shows you what you can do with a can-do attitude. Now, it is time for Turbo Mode. Now, we're going to do it slightly differently because we have less news this week. So we're going to go through them all, and then we're going to talk about it maybe in a little bit more detail than we normally would. So I'll give you the news, first of all, and then we'll come to each of you to get some thoughts, and I'll give you my thoughts. First of all, the State of Switch 2022 results are in. Mighty Goose has some new DLC featuring new missions. Captain Tsubasa, Rise of New Champions, has a large update, adding a new story, content, and a whole host of quality of life features. French Asian Bakery, US-based Tout Le Jour, now sell official Among Us cakes. E3 2022 is cancelled, but they'll be back for E3 2023. The Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe gets a release date of the 27th of April. And Craft Boss Coffees Japan now sell Kirby coffee. Obviously, the coffee one has got me, you know, excited, but even though I'm probably not going to be having a Kirby coffee anytime soon. But there's a few stories there. I'm assuming the Mighty Goose one might be interesting to you.
Well, there are a few stories in there, and actually there's two I really want to talk about, one of which is the Kirby coffee. Now, I don't know if you've ever had Boss coffee in Japan, but when I went travelling in Japan, like, I don't know, dogs ago, 15 years ago, something like that, and every train platform station, there was a vending machine selling Boss coffee. That basically fueled me around Japan. It's just little cans of terrible coffee and you can buy them hot or cold, and I loved them. So I have a certain fondness for Boss Coffee. My fondness has been exponentially increased as a result of Kirby's partnership with them. So they have released 4 different adverts or trailers, commercials, whatever you want to call them, for Boss Coffee, each with Kirby doing a remaster of the Kirby theme as part of the advert. And they've done them in all these wonderful different categories. There's like an electronic version, there's a rock version, there's like a, I'm going to call it a Hawaiian version. And they're just, they are the best things. If you've not seen it, I urge you to Google it. In fact, I'm going to grab the link to like the mashup version, because they got one video where they mash all 4 songs together. I'm going to put that into our Discord and everyone should just go and look at it, because it is just pure bliss. And I should like the rock cover best, because it's me and I like rock music, but actually I quite like the electronic version. It's quite good fun. So yeah, that is lovely. The other thing I found interesting was the State of Switch 2022 results. So this is a survey that was carried out by... who was carried out? Switch Weekly. I think they do it every single year. And the results were probably not particularly surprising to anyone. I don't know, have you guys looked at any detail at the results?
Indeed, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, they basically said exactly what all of us are feeling. They just, they put in concrete into words exactly what we were all thinking, and there were a few surprises in there. One of them that actually did surprise me was the number of people who have online, or Nintendo Switch online subscriptions. So it basically said about 90%, give or take, of the people who responded had the Nintendo Switch online subscription. Now, that's not a huge surprise. Most people have probably got it. 55% of those, though, were sharing like a family and friends membership, which I don't know if either of you guys do that, but they were sharing it not just with their family, but, you know, with their friends to get cheaper deals, which I know various people have done. I've never done it. Do you guys do it?
I don't do it, but I know of people that do it.
I do indeed. I share it with Emily and a few other people.
Uh-huh. Well, the other thing that surprised me about it was that only 32% of those had actually gone for the expansion pack. 32%. That's a really low figure. I was expecting it to be much higher. I mean, not up at the 90s, but I wouldn't have been surprised if it was maybe about 60% of people had gone for it. Clearly that's not the case, but I do wonder if that will change with things like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe DLC dropping, and presumably future game deluxe future game DLC dropping on there too. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was quite interesting looking at the statistics, and you know, it makes total sense, but looking at how many people are like, yeah, why, I don't want old games, why would I want this service? And you know, to be honest, if you think, remove the retro games from Nintendo Switch Online, Nintendo doesn't really hold up that well. You get cloud saves, which is nice, but you know, they don't do dedicated servers. They don't have like all the back ends that PlayStation and Microsoft would have in terms of having, for instance, skill-based ranking, true skill, for instance, on the Microsoft platform. There's a lot of back-end infrastructure that the other consoles offer as part of their online service, which if you're not a fan of online games, you're not paying for very much, it would appear.
Yeah, I think I can kind of see why there hasn't been as big an uptake for the expansion pack. But I do think it will grow, and I think a lot of that will be Mario Kart-led, because such a huge amount of people have Mario Kart if they have a Switch. And I think at the moment, because we've only got 2 new courses, it's maybe still quite early days, 8 new courses, 2 new Grand Prix. But we might, I think, when we see more of them appear, see bigger numbers. I think they do need to do something else, though, because we're seeing, for example, PlayStation expanding their service, and Xbox has a fantastic service, and I think it really needs something. That brings me to a prediction that I think we might see something else in the summer. I think we'll see some new stuff in the summer Switch Direct. That's what I think might happen.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
I hope we do, because I think, am I right in thinking both you guys have already got the expansion pack?
Yes.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah, I don't. I've still held off. I bought the Mario Kart courses separately. Kind of regretted the decision, kind of thought I should have gone for the expansion pack, but at the same time, enough time has passed that I'm comfortable with that decision now. I'm okay. There's not enough really in there for me to want to get the expansion pack yet. We all know I love the N64. I've got a massive, massive amount of love in my heart for that platform. But at the same time, we've got so many really good games on the Switch right now. I've also got the Game Pass on the Xbox. I don't really have any spare gaming capacity, so I don't feel the need to spend extra money to go and get those extra games. If Nintendo started putting their first-party stuff on there, like Sony and Microsoft are doing, that would be different. I would be considering giving them more money.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure they ever will do that, but I think they could do more. There's definitely more they could do. Was there anything else that caught your eye, Anton, in our Turbo Mode?
Yeah, I think for me was kind of seeing the motivations behind people's upgrade to the Switch OLED and how many people were doing it purely because their Switch original batteries were getting a little bit dated. And to be honest, I totally see that. I think, you know, looking at a Switch and just being like, oh, you know, it's a little bit old, the battery's a little bit knackered, I'm needing to buy some new Joy-Cons, why not get a Switch OLED? And I'm kind of looking at that logic and be like, yeah, I guess that works. And now I just want a Switch OLED.
It is very nice, I must admit. And one of the reasons I did it was because I had the original Switch, and the OLED is, you know, it's a shiny new version of it, I guess. But yeah, it was interesting. The other thing I thought was quite interesting was E3. I mean, we knew this was probably going to happen, but I don't know about both of you, but I kind of feel like E3 just becomes less and less relevant as time goes on, just with so much else out there.
Yeah, I could see E3 coming back, not as the hub of conferences it has been, but more as just like a PAX or Comic-Con style event, a celebration of gaming, not the actual events. I think the big publishers have been let off the leash for too long to come crawling back and then start paying these extortionate fees. And yeah, I think the idea, you know, it could remain a name, but I think in methodology it's going to have to change substantially.
I have to say, I'm inclined to agree, to be honest. The last couple of years, they've all realized that they don't need E3, they don't need these big conferences, and they've all got quite comfortable just doing their own announcements when they want. They don't need to be tied to someone's schedule. They can announce and release games when they want to do it. And yeah, why would they go back to the old format? So I think you're right. I think they will probably bring it back, but in a completely different capacity. I think we kind of have to.
Yeah, I'm impressed as well that we're getting more Captain Tsubasa content, because that's a game that I do have it. I have played a bit of it. I haven't finished the story, but I think it's really cool because it's a game that's not a new game as well, as in originally in Japan. It's not a new game. It's great that the Switch is getting more content. And the same for Mighty Goose, actually. I think that's really cool too. And I always like it when we get more DLC for games. Obviously, I suspect they'll both be the DLC for Mighty Goose will be chargeable, but the Captain Tsubasa one's an update, so that's kind of really cool.
Indeed, and on a similar note, incredibly excited that we're finally, after many, many a delay, getting the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe Edition. You know, an absolutely classic game. I believe it was either a Half-Life or Counter-Strike mod back in the day, then got its own dedicated game on Steam, PC only for the longest time, finally coming to console. And yeah, just, it's a game unlike any other. It's just in the same way that, you know, there, you know, Portal's not a genre, there's just Portal, there's just the Stanley Parable. It's unique, wonderful thing, a meta game of sorts. And yeah, I'm excited to see it on the go.
Yeah.
Mind-bending. Great to get it.
Looking forward to seeing how that reviews on the Switch. I hope it's a good port as well. And with that, it's time for the rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
So on the official Call of Duty Online Services webpage, Activision have accidentally listed Nintendo Switch. Now, we had this as a rumour last week. Well, not this, but we were talking about Call of Duty last week and how there was a rumour. I think this probably helps solidify it, Al.
Yeah, accidentally listed. Yeah, no, these things don't happen accidentally. This is a carefully crafted move, but hey, we're talking about it. It's worked. And I think, yeah, as we said last week, so many people will be really happy to get this on the Switch, and it does make sense to bring it along. It's a huge market. Why wouldn't they?
Indeed, I'm very excited about this. And what I find lovely is, one, if it was an accident, at least we know it's running well because it was running green. And yeah, what I am delighted about this news is, you know, I get the idea that, you know, eventually there will be some form of Call of Duty on the Nintendo Switch. I had a slight fear that if we were going to get anything, it was going to be Call of Duty Mobile. But the fact that it's on here and not like seemingly, you know, just another branch off of Call of Duty Mobile makes me suspect that it is the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered coming to Nintendo Switch. Which, to be honest, I think for just getting quintessential Call of Duty on the go, looks like a fairly good package.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that a lot of people have played, and it's also one that is a really good online multiplayer. And I really, it would be great if we can have all that done quite well. My only concern, of course, is sometimes it's, for these kind of games, it is a lot better if you've got voice chat. So I do think that we're going to have, maybe we'll have to all buy those headphones that split two audio sources, but they're not exactly the cheapest. But yeah, I think it's still really great. And I think it's about time we had some Call of Duty of some sort on the Switch. So hopefully that rumor does come true. The other rumor this week we've got is the Game Rating and Administration Committee of Korea have leaked Capcom Arcade Second Stadium. What's the content of this one, Anton?
We don't know yet, but the original Capcom Arcade Stadium was filled with, I believe, 30 classic Capcom titles. And out of all of the classic publishers of, you know, the NES and prior era, Capcom's probably got one of the best portfolio of any of them. So to be honest, they've done a lot of the hits. I'm sure they've got plenty of deep cuts to pad out another collection.
Yeah, although to be fair, this one has technically been leaked for the PC, but I think it's safe to say if it's coming to PC, it will come to every other platform they could possibly put it on, because that's how you make money. The thing it does make me kind of think, is the fact that that first one did have a lot of games in it. And it does make you wonder what they're going to put in the second one. Is it going to be just as good, or are they going to be scraping the barrel? I suspect not, because actually the first one, although it had a lot of games, they weren't necessarily the prime AAA games of the time. So they have a lot of back catalogue to get through.
Yeah, I think there's enough there from Capcom. I think there's plenty, but I know what you mean. You do hope that it's a quality collection if it is going to be there, especially when we're getting better and better collections at the moment. It seems like every collection we get seems to be a bit more thought out at the moment than they used to be. So that is a bit to live up to for them. All right, then it is time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
It sure is. Anton is currently on 4 points. Mike is on 2, and I'm feeling that this might go Mike's way. This week.
No pressure.
the game's rigged, I see.
No, absolutely not. I've not been told anything.
To be fair, Anton is going to destroy Mike because he always does. But I mean, probably. I'm giving you every opportunity here, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks.
Are you ready?
Yeah. As I'll ever be.
Let's jump into our first game. It's a 1991 puzzle game. It was released on the MSX2 and the Family Computer Disk System, or the FDS.
Wow.
Family Computer Disk System, you said?
Yes. All right. Anton goes away and Googles.
Hands are up. Picross?
Nope.
Solitaire?
It is not. It was developed by Compile. That's all I'm going to tell you for that line. Two blank
1991.
Faces.
1991.
Yeah.
Let's go Pure.
Mike, why were you so slow? Why did you not get that from the clues I gave you? It was indeed Pure Pure.
Well done, Anton.
I was going to say it was released later by Sega on arcade and then it appeared on, this list is long, PC 9801, the SNES, the Game Boy, the Mega Drive, the Game Gear, Windows, Mac, N-Gage, Virtual Console, the X68000, FM Towns, mobile phones, and the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I mean, I have both of the games on the Switch, but it's... I didn't know that. I didn't know it was on those systems first, so that's why, unfortunately.
Well, I'm going to give you some more of these clues, just because I actually think they're interesting facts, and... frankly, we've got time to fill in the show, so I can, which is good. So, I didn't realise this. It was released on all these different consoles, but with different names. Did you guys know this?
No.
Indeed. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Beam Machine. And
oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Kirby. So it was released on the Amiga under the name Super Foul Egg. On the Game Gear, it was Puzzle Kids. And that was only in Europe and North America. It was in Japan as Dr. Robotnik's Mean Machine. It was released as Dr. Robotnik's Mean Machines in North America and in Europe. And it was also released on the SNES under the name of Kirby's Avalanche. Or in Europe, Kirby's Ghost Trip. It had so many different names!
Yeah.
Untamable.
Yeah, lots of licenses flying about at that time. Or maybe not, I don't know. It depends on the time. But yeah, well done, Anton. I would have got it, but not from the first clues, unfortunately. So I would have got there when going through all the puzzle games I could think of, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
yeah, pretty much. You got there eventually. Or you need to up your game, Mike. Okay, just focus.
It's because you put pressure on me, because you said, oh, I think Mike's going to win. Obviously, I'm not.
Well, this next one is a 1992 sports sim. That's all I'm giving you.
1992 sports sim. Football Manager.
FIFA Soccer.
It is not. It was developed and published by Rage Software.
Sensible Soccer.
Nope.
Is it Mega Man Soccer?
No, it is not. It was one of the first games of this sport to feature a 3D viewpoint. It wasn't the first, but one of the first.
Did you say it was a sports game? You didn't
Sports, okay. Sports game, and it's at a 3D viewpoint.
1992.
Yeah.
Is it NES Golf?
Nope.
Is it NFL 92?
No, it's not. It was released on the Amiga, the Atari ST and the SNES, but it was also later released on the CD32, the Game Gear, the Master System, the Mega Drive, and DOS. It was prolific. It was everywhere.
Sports game, 92.
Yeah. It was even bundled as a launch game with the Atari 1200.
EA Hockey.
Nope.
EA Hockey.
NBA Jam?
No, but I like your thinking. That was a great game. Okay, this is another one that was released around the world with a whole load of different names. I'm not going to read them one by one because you'll probably get it in the first one. So I'm just going to read all the names and then the first person to shout out the right answer. This will be fun.
So you're going to tell us the names and then we guess
the names. Yeah.
So keep stumm until I finish the clue, all right?
Wait a minute. So we can't say anything? We can't,
you can't say
in.
Anything until I finish giving you all the names.
And then what?
And then one of you is going to get the right answer. Probably.
Right. What if we both get it, though?
Then I'm going to be in a difficult situation. Shut up.
All right.
So, in Japan, it was released by Coconuts Japan, weirdly. And on the SNES, it was called World Soccer. In France, it was called Eric Cantona's Football Challenge. In the USA, it was called World Soccer 94, Road to Glory. Don't know why it was 94, it was released in 92, just go with it. Mega Drive and Game Gear versions were called Sega Sports Striker. That's the list. What's the game?
Oh, I've probably got it. I've got two names that it could be. And
there was a big clue in there. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah, I literally just watched. This is no joke. I literally just watched every Mega Drive football game in existence, a video on it, 3 days ago. So I will have seen it in there, 100%.
Yes, you will. It was a big game. I guarantee you probably had it. Even I had it.
92.
Yeah.
The problem is there's lots of games. There was so many football games that weren't very good around about that time. I'm going to go for
it
Super.
It sold 700,000 game copies, Mike. It was a lot.
Give us the names again.
Okay, the names were World Soccer, Eric Cantona's Football Challenge, Soccer 94, Road to Glory, and Sega Sports Striker.
And none of these were the UK name?
Nope. I want the UK name.
Super Kickoff.
Nope.
Pelé's Soccer.
No, nope. Nah, that was later. That was 1995.
All right, I'll give you... this is not so much a clue, more of a fact. But the game, when it was released, did receive very mixed reactions. Some condemned it, some praised it. So, for example, CU Amiga Magazine awarded the game 94%, and they gave it their Screen Star Award, while the German magazine Amiga Joker awarded it 64% in the same month, because it was just chalk and cheese. Some people loved it, some people hated it. chocolate cheese is a weird thing. Marmite, that's what it was.
3D.
3D. It was described as 3D. I wouldn't necessarily call it 3D myself, but it was described as the first, one of the first to have a 3D viewpoint.
I just... 92 football game. The only ones I can think of are the ones I've said. Trying to think what
the
else.
The big hint is in the Sega one.
What was that?
I'm not going to tell you again. If you weren't paying attention, I told you twice.
I was, but I can't remember which one it was. World Cup 90.
Nope.
Mutant Football League.
Oh, for goodness sake. You guys are both hopeless. Well, that's me out of clues. The game was just called Striker.
Striker?
How can you not know that?
Yeah, I don't... I didn't.
You must have had Striker, right? Everyone had Striker.
I don't think I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I know what it is. I've seen it, but yeah.
I'm disappointed in you, both of you, actually. I was going to say I'm disappointed in you, Mike, but I'm disappointed in both of you.
I'm disappointed because it's a football question and I didn't get it.
Okay, well, that means we're going into the last round without a winner. This doesn't often happen. Normally, by this point, someone has dominated, but you haven't, which means I might need to go find a tiebreaker. All right, Anton, you're going first. What year did Clumsy Rush come out?
Let's go for 87.
Mike?
88.
I need to go find the tiebreaker! It was 2019 on the Nintendo Switch.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and I had a real Amstrad CPC 464 vibes. Yeah.
It looks like an absolutely terrible game involving hippos. That's all I'm saying. Go and Google it.
Okay, I probably won't.
Cell sounds like an Amstrad CPC 464 game.
Well, while Al does that, we'll just remind you again, nsukp.co.uk. Also, the YouTube channel, Anton.
Indeed, yeah, we've got some new reviews coming your way. Emily's got a review, Louise has got a couple of reviews, and yeah, we try and get new stuff out frequently. And let's say you had thoughts on your mind, Mike. Do you use one of the social medias that people could go and find you on?
Yes, we have a Twitter page for all of us, but also my own Twitter and my own Instagram as well. You can go and check that out, and we all have, well, no, actually, that's a lie. Alistair does not.
Al does not. No, Al does not do the social media.
No. But we have, and if you head to NSUK podcast, then everything's pretty much there. Anton, is there any other ones I'm forgetting?
That's about it. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
Yeah. All right, Al. Okay. Come on then.
I've got a tiebreaker. I have a funny feeling this is a really bad one to pick because, yeah, I'm going to make Mike go first. Mike. What year did Starlink Battle for Atlantis come out?
Oh, jeez, oh.
I know you've got this game. That's just the amusing thing.
Yeah. I think it was quite early in the Switch cycle, but not the earliest. Oh, man. This is so annoying because I could... I'm going to be a year out. I know I'm going to be a year out. I am going to say it was 2018.
Anton?
I'm going to gamble with fire and say it was 2017.
Ooh. The tiebreak continues. It was 2018.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Mike lives to fight another day. Okay, next game up then, continuing in the
don't I just
spacey...
win?
Oh, I think, yeah.
I just win.
Did
I've
you
got
win
two.
The... No, Anton's got Poyo Poyo.
Uh-huh, and I got the last question, which was the game title, and now I've got this one.
Yeah, you did.
So I've got
2-1. Yes, you did. Sorry, I'm getting swept up in quiz mastery.
You can do the last one for us. Do the last one for us anyway, just out of interest.
Well, all right, just for funsies, when did Star Fox Command come out, Mike?
Star Fox Command, I think that was 2009.
And Anton? I'm going to say 2008. Because it was on the GameCube, I believe.
Ah, well, that is a good question. I should have been more specific.
Oh.
I will re-ask the question. And I'm going to make you go in the same order.
Right.
Since Mike went first there. What year did Star Fox Command on the DS come out?
Okay. It's on the DS, so I'm going to say it was 2007.
And Anton?
I'm going to say 2006 because I think it was an early DS title.
And it was in 2006.
Well done.
Good job.
Well done.
But Mike still wins.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's
got the point.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I snatched victory from the jaws of defeat there, but we'll go with it. I'm happy. So that makes it 4-3, right?
It does, yes. 4-3, you're clawing your way back. Good job, my friend.
Good. It's more competitive than last year when I got 2 points for every win. So maybe it's because of that I'm performing better. That's what it is. More
sure,
pressure.
I'll go with that. Why not?
That is it for another episode. Thank you so much for everyone for all of you who download the show and for listening and doing all the giving us all the support that you do. We really appreciate it. Al, anything you'd like to add before we finish?
The only thing I would like to request everybody to do, if you've not already done it, is to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because they do help us a lot. And frankly, we quite enjoy reading them and reading them out, because most of them make us giggle. So the funnier, the better. But yeah, please go along to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It does help us out a lot.
Absolutely. We look forward to your 5 minute set.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. We'll see you later. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.